Blog Talk Radio.
The myth is that storms have to do with punishment, that they are God's response to sin or his disappointment in us as his children. May I suggest that it is actually the opposite. It is the confirmation that we are flowers the Father has planted and he desires to grow. And no matter how painful or inconvenient, it is necessary for the flower's beauty. Here's a collection of songs from the last 10 years that have been my testimony to the beautiful struggle of necessary storms in my life. Listen, and don't be afraid to grow.
Thank you for joining the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and we thank you for supporting my guest tonight, the author of a book entitled Yes, You Are, Michael Smith, Michael S. Smith. But before I introduce you to my guest today, I would like to talk to you about storms. And Kirk Franklin just talked a little bit about storms. And this is dedicated to everybody that has been in a storm, that is coming out of a storm, or you may be in the middle of the storm. And somewhere in the middle of that whole process, you question God and you doubted God times. As believers, we all have faith disengagements. And some of you might be saying, well, what does this have to do with this interview with the author of this book, Yes, You Are? Well, author Michael S. Smith has endured, has persevered, has allowed, and he has put up with many storms in his life. And he has learned the power of speaking God's word to the storm. Now, some storms are natural, some storms are man-made, some storms occur in the summer, some storms occur in the winter, some storms occur in the spring. Some storms occur in the fall. Some storms are physical and some storms are mental. Some storms are emotional and some storms are psychological. Some storms are big and some storms are small. Some storms come when things are going well and some storms come when things are not going so well. Left unattended, some storms get bigger, swell into heights that will overtake you. And like waves overtaking a ship out on the ocean, sometimes when it comes to storms, things are often broken and because of the spirit of fear, also stolen because you are called and chosen. Some storms cause all kinds of commotion, but if you hang in there and persevere, the storm will lead to your promotion. Some storms come immediately following a mountaintop experience, major triumphs, and success. So keep on the whole armor of God and never leave out of your house undressed because the armor serves a purpose. Some storms cause things that have hurt you to come up to the surface. So please don't be nervous. This is a part of being trained and prepared for God's service. God knows and he is aware of all that concerns us, and he sent me to remind you that Jesus' blood was used to purchase us and that we are safe in the master in the midst of the storm because the blood of Jesus protects us. So Jesus teaches his disciple a valuable lesson in the storm. Matthew 28, verse 23 to 27 When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, a violent storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being covered by the waves. But Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We are going to die." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was at once a great and wonderful calm, peacefulness. The men wandered in amazement, saying, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And this is going to lead us directly into the interview today. And I want to take this time to introduce you to Michael, author Michael S. Smith. And I've been calling him best-selling author Michael S. Smith. I would like to welcome you to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. How are you?
Thank you, Stacy. I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
Not that good. You sound far away.
All right, let me try it this way. Can you hear me now?
It's pretty much the same.
Oh, man.
So while we're getting our technical systems together.
Now can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You still sound a little far away, but we'll just, you know, we'll continue. Are you on the speakerphone?
No, I'm not on speakerphone. I'm on my regular phone. I mean, just regular.
Okay.
I'll talk louder if I need to.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And I dedicated that poem to you because you have been in and out of many storms. And in some of those storms, you lost your voice, you lost your power, and you lost your authority like many of us do. But somewhere in the midst of the storm, you began to use your words. Your faith was increased. And you came into agreement with what God said. And regardless of all of the negative things that had happened to you, regardless of all of the negative words that were spoken to you about you and over your life, which is a verbal storm, which is a mental and a psychological storm, you rose up. Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And you began to fight back. And you declared, "Yes, I am. I am not those things that were spoken to me, but I am a child of God." So, Mike, I want to say thank you so much for fighting back. Thank you for making your positive affirmations and holding on to the promises that God made to you. And because you did not let go, now God is using you as a tool, as a vessel of honor to encourage other people that are in the midst of a storm. So please take this time to just introduce yourself in your own way and let us know what inspired you to write this book, Yes, You Are.
Well, my name is Michael Smith, and I'd like to start out just a little bit about myself, as Stacy was talking about. Throughout my life, I have suffered from emotional abuse from being either bullied as a child or in relationships that I have been in. And what this resulted in was spending a lot of time alone because I didn't want to get hurt. And I found out as time went on, I began to wonder if what people were saying about me was true. I wouldn't even really say anything good about myself because of that. But in the past couple of years, that's when God started speaking to me and reminding me that I was made in His image. In Psalm 139:13-14, which says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God told me that he was pleased with his creation, and he still is today, and he loves me just as much now as when he created me. And I believe there are a lot of people out there who have gone through similar experiences that may not think that they're worth anything or they are anybody because of the things that they've been told. And I'm here to tell people that you are somebody in God's eyes because he made you. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It's all that matters is what God thinks. And you are who God says you are.
Amen. Well said. So before we get into the Q&A session, because I'm going to, you know, interview you and ask you some questions, I want to give an overview of the book. And for those of you that are listening, please press 1 on your phone if you would like to ask a question, comment, or encourage Mike. And if you are listening via the internet, please leave your comments on the message board or in the comment section, and we will definitely respond to you. So the name of the book by Michael S. Smith is Yes, You Are, Thoughts and Scriptures to Speak Over Yourself and Others. So what would you rather believe, who people say you are or who God says you are? People are being attacked verbally more and more each day, and it is changing the way they feel about themselves or others in a negative way. My hope is that I can help change that by getting people to stop believing who people say they are and start believing who God says they are. That was a big reason why I wrote Yes, You Are, Thoughts and Scriptures to Speak Over Yourself and Others. I hope it blesses you as you read it as much as it blessed me to write it. Now, for those of you that follow Mike on Facebook, he has a group. The name of the group is called Yes, You Are.
Yes, You Are.
And you can locate him on Facebook. And again, the name of the group is Yes, You Are. And he is always encouraging his followers to speak God's word over their lives, to speak positive words over their lives. And everything that you just heard and everything that he said, what you see is what you get. Now, I know Mike personally, and I met him earlier this year, and we became very good friends. And I could honestly say that he believes everything that he writes, and he's not writing just to be writing. He's an instrument of change being used by God to encourage those that need to be encouraged, to lift up those that have been discouraged. And all of those storms that we've been talking about, God uses Mike in a very unique and dynamic way to help people navigate the storms of life. And having said that, Mike, I want to talk about the good things, and I want to also talk about the bad things, because it is in the midst of the storm. Sometimes we think that it's all bad, but actually it's in that dark place where God is doing one of his greatest works. So please share with the listening audience any stage or any season of the storm where you learned your greatest lesson, or either you had your deepest hurt or pain. And it could be in any of the categories that I mentioned, the mental, the psychological, the summer, winter, spring, or fall. Because even though we're talking about the seasons, there are also seasons that we go through in our lives where we experience, like for instance, the winter time is cold. Sometimes the wind is vehemently like smacking you, beating you in your face. And sometimes when we're in abusive or negative relationships, it could be a cold season. In the midst of that coldness, the negative words of people will affect your confidence and your self-esteem. And I know that's an area that you have truly, truly grown. So what do you have to bring to the table to share with our listeners along those lines or whichever way God leads you?
Well, you know, I mean, for me, it kind of felt like for a long time, especially in my adult life, it seemed like all the seasons rolled together. I had basically the wind, the hail, the rain, the snow, everything seemed like it was all hitting me at one time, depending on where I was at and who I was around. And throughout that entire time that I was around in those situations, I just felt like my worth kept diminishing, that I wasn't even, you know, anything that mattered to anybody. And it took a long time for me to sit there and say, okay, Lord, you know, speak to the waters, calm them. I'm ready to get out of this life storm and into a storm, into a peaceful place. So that's kind of where I came from. I mean, I went through, you know, as I said, you know, lots of bullying growing up because I was in environments where I just didn't fit in. I guess, you know, Satan knew I was different than the other kids, so he used those kids to attack me. And the same thing was true in my adult life. You know, he knew that there was something great coming down the road, and he wanted to derail it as much as he possibly could. Well, he failed. Because here I am.
Amen. Hallelujah to that. That is amazing. And you know, Mike, that's what most people, and I want you to be real comfortable. It's just like we sitting at the table talking.
Right.
The enemy does such a good job. We're trying to make us think that we lost and that we're defeated. Truth of the matter is he is defeated. He is the one that's underneath our feet. And we have power and authority over him. And at church today, my pastor was like, we got to step on that devil like you mean it.
Do.
And I tell you, we have power and authority. So thank you so much for saying that. And when you got to that point where you believed that, what were some of the things that you were saying to help you stay the course, to help someone else today? And even if you have to refer to different chapters of the book throughout the interview, that's fine, because I'm going to ask you to do an excerpt on the 21 gun salute. Because that was just amazing when you shared it on Friday night. But anyway, you want to go right now.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that I was going to bring up was, you know, realizing that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, because I was made by the Father in heaven. That took a long time to really sink in, you know, into my being, going, you know, really, God, you know, how all these people are saying all these things, or, you know, the criticism, judgment, condemnation, belittlement, manipulation, control, guilt trips, you name it. It's like, you know, it was like that was who I felt I was. But when God started putting it in my mind, that in my heart, that you are who I say you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That started to really turn things around for me. And that ties in with this 21-gun salute section that we were talking about in my book, too.
Okay. So if you like, you can share an excerpt. You could, you know, read as much as you want to from that chapter. And just give the overview of what it means, because as you was explaining it the other night, Friday, on our discussion on do you value yourself, the atmosphere shifted. when you started.
It did.
It really did. And there was such a fire. And I know you've been on fire about the consuming fire, and I don't want to go too fast. You know, we just have so much to talk about today. But go ahead and be led to go forth with the 21.
Okay. Well, this basically talks about the power of our words over ourselves and over other people. So anyway, like I said, our words are powerful. The words we speak start out as a thought that enters our mind and eventually comes out of our mouths. Thoughts come from one of two places, either God or Satan. God's words are positive and Satan's words are negative. Our words can either build us up, which are the positive words, or tear us down, which are the negative words. The words that we speak to others can have the same effect. Proverbs 18:21 tells us just how powerful our words are. The power of life and tongue, life and death are in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Most people have probably heard of something called a 21-gun salute. That's where 7 military members fire 3 shots into the air each to celebrate something good or to pay tribute to someone who made an impact. That same analogy can be applied in a biblical sense to our words. Instead of the traditional meaning of a 21-gun salute, I want everyone to think of it in a different way. What are your words worthy of? Are they worth 21 angels singing praise to God for them, or are they worth 21 demons shooting fiery darts at you? Do your words deserve 21 people shooting guns in the air in praise of what you said, or 21 guns pointed at you for the hateful and hurtful things you said? Ouch. That puts a completely different perspective on what we think or say, doesn't it? And I'll be the first to admit here that my words often have not been ones deserving 21 angels singing praises to God for them or 21 people shooting guns in the air. I'm 100% certain that pretty much everyone who is listening today or will read my book will say the same thing, or they will deny it, just like Peter did when Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times, which is exactly what he did. And when the rooster crowed, he realized that Jesus had spoken the truth about him, and he went outside in the courtyard bitterly. Does that describe any of us? I know it does me more often than I want to admit. So how do we change that? The Bible talks about a thought that comes into our mind, which will come out of our mouths. Again, positive thoughts are from God, and negative thoughts come from Satan. So you have 2 options. You can accept the thought that comes into your mind, or you can reject it. Change what you allow into your mind that will come out your mouth, and you will not only change your own life, but the lives of your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your city, your state, your country, and even the world. So the following is true about the words that we speak. They can create or they can destroy. They can be beneficial or they can be detrimental. They are loving or they are hateful. They can build up or they can tear down. Can bring joy or they can bring sorrow. They can hurt or they can heal. They can bring comfort or they can cause pain. They can create success or they can create failure. We have the choice to either speak words of life or words of death to ourselves and others. And I challenge everyone listening to always speak words of life. When you realize just how powerful your words are and the potential they have to positively or negatively affect people, places, and things, you have the ability to change what you allow into your mind that will come out your mouth. Until you realize the power of your words and the impact they can have not only on others around you, but even yourself, your words will never change. And I have this saying that says, whatever follows your I am statements determines who you are or who you will become. So why not say positive words to yourself every day?
Amen. And that is, as you were saying that, Romans, the 12th chapter, was standing out to me. And I know
okay.
you know that scripture well. But we're going to read it for our listening audience because this is crucial to every person that is listening, to every person that is renewing their mind. And we should be doing that on a regular basis. Now, everybody that's listening are not believers. There's going to be a wide variety of people that, you know, listen to the broadcast. And Mike, it doesn't matter if they are Hindu, if they are Buddhist, if they are Muslim, if they are Christians. Person, regardless of their faith and what they believe, if they are tired of being in that negative realm and they want to start being positive, they have to start speaking positive. They have to start thinking positive. Everything that you just said, something inside of them has to change.
Right.
And whether they acknowledge or not, there is a renewal process that needs to take place. And Romans 12 and 2, Romans 12 and verse 2, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. I love what it says in the Amplified version. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on good values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, and his plan and purpose for you." And that is so appropriate for everything that you shared just now. And just what does that scripture mean to you?
It means that I need myself to, I have to renew my mind every day. I cannot sit there and think things one day, renew it one day, and then think I'll be okay the next. You know, it's a daily process and sometimes even an hourly or minute-by-minute process because all kinds of things can come at us from all kinds of directions. So you know, we've got to tie that in with, you know, renewing our mind with taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We can't sit there and allow every single thing that comes into our mind to come out of our mouth because, you know, a lot of that may wind up hurting someone.
Yes. And not only can it end up hurting someone else, it could end up hurting us. Because many times, I don't know about you, but there's plenty of times where I spoke negative about especially if I made a mistake, if I did something wrong, I said something wrong, if I hurt somebody's feelings, you know, because sometimes you can hurt people and you don't realize you hurt them. But I used to be so hard on myself. And I'm not going to say that I'm totally over that now because, you know, I'm quick to go to God and to repent. But, like, if I know I hurt somebody, I want to make it right. And that season when I was speaking negative to myself about myself, the word self-sabotage kept coming up. And I was like, okay, God, what is this self-sabotage? And he was letting me know, whenever you speak negative about yourself, you still speak in faith.
Yep.
And it's like, Stacey, when you speak positive about yourself, you're still speaking faith. So you want to grow in my word. And what I love about Romans 12, verse 2, in the Amplified, it says, be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. So, Mike, even with the process of this book that you wrote, Yes, You Are, you wasn't as mature in Christ as you are now at the beginning of that process.
Right.
When I started doing what I do, I wasn't spiritually mature. I was not in this place that I am now. So when we come to Christ, we're babes in Christ. But it's an ongoing process, and we have to learn about the regeneration process, because salvation is so much more than just getting saved and living eternally in heaven with God. It's about being, once we're born again and learn how to be in a relationship with him, but it's also growing, because we don't want to stay a babe in Christ. And the reason I'm going this way, because a lot of people that get that do accept Jesus Christ into their hearts, they don't grow. You know, all it is I'm saved, and their mind is not renewed. They stay in that same cycle, and it's because they simply was not taught. I believe that we need to do a better job with educating new converts so that they can understand what happens when they accept Christ and how they have been resurrected in Christ, but they have died to their old sinful nature, and that it is a process. And as we grow, just like we, you know, a child is born, that newborn baby is a toddler, and then, you know, he's walking, he's talking, it's a little boy, a little girl, then a teenager, a young adult. It's the same way with Christ. So in that whole process, we're constantly putting off and we're putting on. In Colossians, the third chapter, it tells us to mortify, you know, our flesh. But these, what you're talking about, what we're talking about, it's all related to the Word of God. And we have to renew our mind and apply the Word of God to those areas where we have been wounded, or we've been negative, or evil, you know, evil or negative words have been thought, spoken against us, and even where we thought or spoke negative about ourselves. And I'm going to turn it over to you for a response.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I look at too is, you know, putting down stones, you know, because we all know that back in Jesus' day, pretty much the only stones there were physical ones and verbal ones. And today the stones are taking different forms. And, you know, you think back to the woman that got accused of adultery and, you know, what they were going to do to her. And then Jesus looked at all of them and said, hey, you know, if you're without sin, go ahead, throw a stone. And they all walked away. And the same thing applies too when our words toward others. Are our words, you know, stones that will hurt them? Or are they going to be some type of thing that will bless the person instead? So that's one of the things that I'm learning is, you know, is in response to what somebody else has done to me, I can't hurl a stone, a verbal stone back at them. I've got to say, no, this is not who God says I am, and I'm not going to say that same thing to you because, I, and it is a process. I don't want to turn around and hurt someone just because I'm hurt, you know, because you heard the saying, hurt people hurt people. So, you know, I would rather bless people than hurt them. And it's sometimes it's not easy, especially when you're being hurt yourself.
So what happens if somebody speak negative to you now? What is your response to them? Like, what's the first thing that you do?
Well, I mean, the first thought is, you know, is to get angry with him. You know, it's like, you know, who do you think you are? How dare you say that kind of thing to me? You know, because I have this one thing that, you know, especially when it comes to people that think they're better than you, you know, I have a saying that says, you know, if you think you're better than me, go ahead and walk, go to the nearest lake and walk on the water and see if you don't drown. Because I'll bet you will and I'll win. You know, and that's kind of the way I've looked at things. It's like, you know better than me. I'm going to fire back at you. And I've had to learn, and I'm still learning that, that I need to control my tongue when other people throw something at me that I don't deserve.
Yes. And we don't have to respond.
Right. I mean, the thing is, we can say to those people, I do not receive what you are saying to me.
Yes.
It's not, I am who God says I am, and I don't receive that word that you just gave me. And it's hard when you've been beat up a lot to not just accept those words.
Yes. Now, in regards to being beat up, I believe that negative words, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, mental and psychological abuse, I believe that's more damaging than actually being physically abused, being hit. Like, 'cause somebody can slap you or they could punch you, and that pain is going to last, or that slap, or that sting is going to last for a moment. I mean, you're going to remember that they hit you. But that negative word, Mike, is something about how we as people just gravitate to the negativities.
You're
the negative things that happen. But the positive things that happen, we like put that way back on the back burner.
Yep,
and we rehearse those negative things. And most of our lives, and especially before accepting Christ, that was the pattern. And when people said something negative about us, or we either wanted to respond outwardly, or either we would internalize and go inward. But as believers in Christ, we have to learn how to break that cycle and learn how to really acknowledge the truth, because when people are speaking, they either going to speak evil or they're going to speak good. They're going to speak a lie or they're going to speak the truth. So when we know who we are in Christ, and somebody comes along and they speak something that's contrary to that truth, then automatically I'm like, stop. You gotta cross the boundary. Nope, you can't throw dirt down my well. And sometimes you don't even need to, depending on what it is, I will rebuke that person. I rebuke what you're saying to me. That doesn't pertain to me. I'm not receiving that. And sometimes they'll get offended because I use that word rebuke, but I'm not rebuking the person. I'm rebuking the spirit that came through that person, because the ultimate assignment was to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Right.
And so I've been beat up enough. Stuff been stolen from me enough, Mike. I'm not letting it go down that way. It's a new sheriff in town.
There you go. Yep. And his name isn't Andy Griffith either. We got Sheriff Jesus right with us all the time.
Yes. So with that 21 gun salute. I know the Holy Spirit quickened you to give you that whole concept, but when he did and you began to write that chapter, how did it bless you personally, and how do you want that particular chapter to bless those that will read your book?
Well, it really got me to thinking about my words. I mean, not just the words that other people are saying to me, but my own words, to myself and to others. Like, Michael, why are you, putting yourself down, when nobody's around? Why are you speaking words of death to yourself? When you should be speaking words of life, which is what God always does to us. He speaks words of life. So my thoughts are, I need to start speaking those same type of words to myself and to everybody that I'm around. Otherwise people are going to want to stay away from me because they think I have an attitude, or whatever, I want to say the things that you know God says in His Word to people. And I even have a something I'm going to talk about in my upcoming book, which we think we talked about last week. Is what I call word wars. And we all know how most wars get started. They get started over words.
Yes.
So, and I think it was last Monday night we were talking about what the traditional meaning of war is, where, you know, one country's leader says something about another country, and next thing you know, they're fighting.
Yes.
It gets ugly, and, you know, one of the casualties of war is post-traumatic stress disorder, which a lot of veterans suffer from. And if it's not treated, it can result in suicide or mental health issues of all kinds, and the person may wind up on the streets alone and having no help. And then, you know, one of the things that, you know, is in addition to the traditional war is what I call the war in the home, which is where, you know, a husband and a wife or parents and children say things to each other that are inappropriate or ungodly. And those types of things can also result in PTSD symptoms in the person that's experiencing that on the receiving end of that stuff. And that's one of the things that people need to start praying and saying, you know, help me to love, honor, and respect those around me.
Yes.
And to be patient with them and understanding, because they're not perfect, just like I'm not perfect.
So when you say that you're not perfect, you mean you still make mistakes?
I will make mistakes until the day I die.
I am
not God, and I am not Jesus Christ, so I will make mistakes.
So when you make a mistake, does God still love you?
Of course He does. He loves me. He's loved me from the moment He created me. And He will love me throughout eternity. The one thing that I like to stress is, you know, when you make a mistake in your life, you know, and it's taken me a while to learn this too, is don't use it as a beat me up session, calling yourself an idiot or stupid or something worse. You know, use it as a learning tool to do things different next time. And, well, that didn't work, so let's go back to the drawing board and see what we can come up with to do things different.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And the reason I ask those... Go ahead.
Finish what you were saying. We're all too good at beating ourselves up, even over the small things.
Yes.
So
and that's where the enemy comes in... That's where the enemy comes in and speak negative words. And depending on where we are mentally, emotionally, even spiritually, it's going to determine whether or not we're strong enough. And I repeat, if we're strong enough to reject the enemy is saying to us. Because, Mike, many people, earlier you said hurt people. And I believe just about every conversation we have, that topic will come up because it's so true. But
yes.
A lot of times people will, like, some people are not patient with people that are still in that negative cycle of speaking, thinking, and thinking about themselves in a negative way. And they're learning how to change that. But it is a process. And for those of us that are stronger now, we really have to be more gentle. We have to be more kind. We have to be more understanding because we used to be where they were at. And somebody helped us come out of that storm. And then it may have been Jesus It may have been the Holy Spirit. It may have been God. And I say that because when we first come to Christ, some people have that intimate relationship right away with Jesus. Somebody have that intimate relationship right away with the Holy Spirit and right away with God. And sometimes it could be with one or the other, or it could be all three. But they begin to minister to you. And as we read, as we pray, as we worship, as we learn, you know, when we learn better, we do better. So it's real important, and, you know, some of these things I'm bringing out because I want us to let those that are listening to know, Mike, that we are not perfect.
Nope.
We're never going to be perfect, like you said. But when we fall short of the glory of God, get back up knowing who you are. Get back up knowing whose you are, and get back up knowing that you are still a child of God. That God has already forgiven you. God wants you to forgive yourself, and God wants you to put off that old coat that Satan been telling you to wear, because that old coat represents everything from your past life that don't have nothing to do with your new life in Christ. And the mic is yours.
Well, you're right there. I mean, you know, the past really doesn't have anything to do with our future. We've got to all learn that to let the past go and not keep bringing it up and remembering it like we're memorializing it, which when we bring up the past, that's exactly what we're doing. We're basically, you know, building a monument to our past, saying, well, there it is. Now I can stare at it all the time and remember of all those terrible things that happened to me. No, we have to forgive and we have to let go so that we can move into the future that God has for us. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says he's given us a future and a hope. And we've got to hold on to that future and that hope because it's going to be glorious.
Yes, not only is it going to be glorious, it's going to be life-changing. And Mike, mm-hmm. Is this the sole reason that you wrote this book? Because you want to have an impact on people to make them? I mean, you tell me. I don't want to answer for you.
I want people to realize who they are in Christ. You know, that they are not what the world says. You know, the world is going to continue to beat you down, and Satan knows as you start to rise higher and higher in life, he's going to throw anything he can at you through people you know to bring you back down to the level you were once at. So we have to resist that, and we have to say, no, I'm stepping into God's future for me. You know, I don't care what took place before. I'm going into that future, and I'm going to live out the life that God has for me.
Yes. And that is beautiful. And what my next question is, why do you even care?
Why do I care?
Yes. Why do you care?
Just based on experience. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of people, especially men. I mean, you hear always about women getting abused, but you very little do you ever hear about men being abused. And, you know, to the men out there that are listening, you know, just like the women, you have a voice too. And it's time for you to use your voice to speak up for yourself and to show everybody that you know, you're not, you know, a person. I guess for lack of better words, that you are made in the image of God just like a woman is, and you should always value yourself as who God created you to be.
Yes. You know, that is beautiful. And the reason I asked you, why do you care? And the answer that you just gave, yes, is beautiful. And as believers in the body of Christ, we are to love and care for one another. But we are to love and care for all people.
Right.
There is no discrimination. Like if you was in a room full of different faiths and different beliefs, I believe that you would still be Mike. And I believe you would still reach out to each and every person in love because you are a distributor of God's love. And I just thank God for your heart and your heart for his people. And it's not often that you meet like-minded people that have that same compassion, that have that same passion and compassion because they work together. But your desire to help people is amazing because you have been so, you know, you and I are very good friends. And
yes, we
have
are.
Shared so much. And, I thank God for you. I thank God for the friendship. But, you know, the first time when we talked and we were sharing, you know, back and forth, it really blessed my heart to see your transparency. Because as a survivor of domestic violence, it's not an easy thing as a woman to overcome. And then as I got to know this one man would visit my website and he says, "Stacey, how come you always talking about the women and you don't talk about the men? Because men get abused too." And he was very angry. And I let him know, I said, "Well, I really don't know what it's like for a man to be abused because, I just don't have enough information. But if you're willing to share your testimony and talk to me and educate me, I'll do my part." And, Mike, let me tell you, this man was a doctor, and he was so wounded by a woman he was in a relationship with in his church. And he was just calling women Jezebels. He was negative about women, you know, women in the church. Like, it was just really, really bad. And he didn't even realize that he was operating out of his hurt and his pain and that he was speaking word curses. In his mind, he's speaking negative about women because of what she did to him, but he really was inflicting hurt and pain on himself. And that's another area where we really need to shine the light because people really don't understand the power of their words or the boomerang effect of their words. So that point, I started ministering to the men. And men are more quiet when it comes down to abuse because they feel ashamed, they feel embarrassed, they feel humiliated. But once they open up, just like women, once you, whoever the person is, when you hold that stuff in, it kills you slowly inside. It kills your spirit. But once you give your testimony and you open up, oh, my goodness, it's like a whole other realm of peace. And you get stronger each time you share and talk about it. So I want to turn it over to you now so that you can elaborate on that and let us know the importance of both men and women getting the help they need and learning how to think right.
From a man's perspective, a man, if he starts to share the experience that he's been through, most men won't do it because they think it's a sign of weakness. I mean, it really isn't. You know, it's really a sign of humility to where, you know, we can't be afraid to let people know, you know, that just like when women get hurt or abused by someone else, you know, and they talk about it, you know, it's okay for men to talk about it too. I mean, we need to be there to support each other, you know, not look down on each other. Well, you know, you went through this and everything. You know, we need to speak openly and honestly about it, not make it sound like a complaint. Because we need to say, yo, this is what happened to me. And it may not be that person that was doing the abusing may not have known better. They may have been, you know, how they were raised or some other thing. And, you know, we've got to look at that. It's not the person. It's the things that they were raised or you know, how they were taught as to why they're doing what they're doing to us. So I'm one that, you know, I'm trying to look at it from a perspective of, well, you know, that person, you know, maybe God will enlighten that person some kind of way to where maybe they'll think about the words that they're saying to me or to somebody else.
That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people speak out, you know, just kind of whatever, unconsciously, you know, for lack of a better word. You know, we don't take our thoughts captive like we should.
Yes, that's true. And again, it's a process. Now, this discussion that we're having, think about what you know now and what you didn't know as a little child, clear up to the time where you received this knowledge. If this book was in the curriculum for all schools, and mm-hmm. written in such a way where even the first graders could understand, do you know how effective these children would be, how powerful they would be in the classroom? Because bullying and the peer pressure is so strong, and kids are so cruel, Mike.
I know.
And they speak such hurtful, painful things. And a lot of the children in school today, they are depressed, they are sad, they are suicidal. And some of the things that you mentioned in the beginning of the show that adults go through, the children are going through it today. And it's because
Absolutely.
Of the effect and the power of the negative words that are being spoken to them. So what do you have to say to our teenagers, to our young adults? And what, you know, what do you have to say to them? And do you have a specific chapter in the book that you would like to highlight for our young adults?
Well, the whole book is geared toward people of all ages, from young children all the way through, you know, senior citizens. And we, you know, to the young people today that, you know, the pressure is on them to fit into whatever group or mold or whatever you want to call it, our teachers need to do to stop teaching this garbage that makes children question who they are. You know, the parents need to show the children that who they are in Christ, not just leave it up to the schools to do all the teaching, because in the end it's going to wind up failing. And the kids are going to be completely lost. But to the young people out there now, I just want to tell every single one of them, you know, you are loved, you do matter, you are valuable, and you are significant. You know, you are somebody, you know, regardless of what the things that you hear are being taught, you know, those five things at the very least are true about you. And you've got to learn that to value yourself and to realize that you have a potential to make an impact on the entire world if you allow God to work through you.
Yes. And how do we maintain positive attitude and energy once we get to that place where we value ourselves? Because, Mike, I don't care how strong you are or how positive you are, sometimes we have a bad day. So how do we maintain that value and that worthiness?
Well, one of the things I did for a long time before I wrote this book, before I, you know, really started believing what I put on paper there, was I used to have a positive thoughts wall in my house. And I would have a bunch of I am statements up there, that, you know, for at times I would make a point of walking up to that wall and looking at the I am statements and speak them out loud. But I didn't do it consistently, probably because I wasn't really believing that, that those words were true based on what I had dealt with in the past. But we it's important that to me that, that we start speaking more I am, positive I am statements to ourselves and to the people around us, you know, or you are statement to the folks that we're talking to, but an I am statement to ourselves. You know, we can't sit there and you know, speak words of death saying, you know, you're an idiot. God's word doesn't say that anywhere. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So if he feels that way, that to me is how we should be speaking to everybody we come in contact with, especially the young people that, you know, may be hearing all these hurtful and hateful things that, that other kids are saying to them. You know, we need to reinforce with our children that, you know, they are somebody and they matter, regardless of what's going on in the world around them.
That's true. That's powerful. And, you know, everybody matters. Everybody
right.
matters. You know, when people talk about slavery or like for me personally, if I'm writing something about black people and if it pertains to slavery, if I bring that out, then somebody will say, oh, I'm tired of hearing about this. And I'm like, but you have to be sensitive and understanding that I have a right to voice my opinion. And this is something that you would never, ever experience in your life because you're not black. So then I have a lot of Jewish friends that go through the same thing in regards to the Holocaust. But every race has experienced some kind of bondage, some kind of mistreatment. And it doesn't change who we are.
Nope.
We all, regardless of what we have survived, what we have overcome, we have a right to be treated with love, with dignity, and respect. And
absolutely.
So I'm simply saying that to say because we have a whole race of people, yellow, green, purple, I mean, we could say a whole rainbow, that they specialize in speaking negative to people, to different races of people. And they speak things that they really don't understand. And that's something that I hope that we can also change and shed a light on because hurt people hurt people.
Exactly.
And with everything that we're talking about, Mike, a lot of these people mm-hmm. are taught to behave this way. They taught to think that way. So I believe that one of the reasons God had you write this book is so people can unlearn the old
That's
way.
True. Yeah, because we can be, we can really, I mean, you know, we can talk about slavery and stuff like that. Well, we can even be a slave to our own words.
Come on.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we sit there and allow these words to control who we are or what we do. And those things, those words can be something that where we can turn around and literally destroy a person because we've allowed Satan to enslave us with negative thoughts. And it doesn't matter what your skin color is, what your age is, your sex is, any, you know, your occupation or anything. You know, we can be a slave, allow ourselves to become a slave to the words instead of being freed from that by focusing on God's word.
Yes. And does focusing on God's word just fall into our lap, or is that something we have to practice on a regular basis?
We have to die to self every single day and sometimes multiple times per day and pick up his word and start reading it and looking for those things where he even though he may have been talking to the Israelites or whoever, he was still speaking to us through those very same words. that, you know, you will mount up on wings like eagles, things like that. You know, you will have a hope and a future that goes way above and beyond anything you could think or imagine. So we've got to sit there and look for those little things within God's word that we can start speaking to ourselves. And that was a lot of what I tried to put into this book, was, you know, things that you could start saying to yourself that go against, you know, traditional words that are spoken out there all over the world.
Yes, that's true. Very true. So, Mike, what else did you want to share with your radio, the radio listeners, and how can people reach you? How can they reach you? How can they purchase a copy of your book?
Well, my book will be available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online and regular stores on August 15th. And people can go out now and pre-buy either the paperback or the e-book.
Okay. And the book is going to officially be on sale on what date?
August 15th.
August the 15th. And I want to say congratulations again. And one of the things in the write-up I did on Facebook, I spoke about your dream and how you had a dream and, you know, the things that you went through that's really associated with, like, the storms and stuff we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go through any, like, unusual spiritual warfare while you was writing this book? Tell us about
that
whole process.
At one point in time, I was probably, I'd say, maybe three-quarters of the way in writing, or maybe halfway to three-quarters of the way in writing this book. And, I mean, it started out being a much smaller version of this than what it is now. But at one point in time, you know, because I just moved into a house a couple of years ago that was, that was built the same year I was born. And I started seeing all this stuff that was wrong with it. And it was like, you know, enemy saying, you know, you need to take this and this and this and this and this and at least, you know, get the parts that are a problem out of the way, you know. But, you know, but I'm like, I don't have the money to do anything to remodel the parts that are bad. All I can do is just clear away some of the things. And he used that to distract me from writing this book. And I sat there and I basically kind of lost my focus on it. And then a very close friend of mine who wrote the foreword challenged me to get back to what God was having me do through this book. And when he issued that challenge, it kind of reawakened my spirit, saying, you know, you got to finish this because people need to hear these kinds of things and be encouraged. That they you know, don't have to keep looking at themselves in a negative way all the time. Yes, you may not be, you know, you may not do everything right in life, but you're still a child of God, and He still loves you, and He still cares about you, and I wanted to portray that in my book.
Okay, and I think you did a very good job. I haven't read all of the book yet, you know, because you let me read, an excerpt of it. And, I mean, more than that, but I'm going to make sure that I read my personal copy that has been signed by the author. And I am just so excited. I can't wait to read it. And I want to ask you to... do you have a website at this time yet?
No, that's one of the things I've been thinking about putting together, but I just haven't had the opportunity to do so yet. At some point in time, I will, and I want to load it with positive thoughts and things like that that are scripturally based.
Okay. So right now, how can people contact you?
They can email me at readdeclareandpray@gmail.com.
And what about
on
Facebook?
On Facebook, they can go to my group, like we talked about, Yes You Are, and it's got an exclamation point afterwards, where I make a point every day of trying to put out some type of You Are statement followed by a scripture and then some encouraging words. Or as in one section of my book, I have a series of very short little prayers where I start out saying, I thank you, God, that, and then I'd say an I am statement or he is statement, and then I'd say, you know, for your word says, according to, and I'll just give you an example, you know, I thank you, God, that I am loved. For your word says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know, something like that. And I have plenty of those, and I even put a little picture there so that people can, you know, tie it all together.
Right. So one thing I do know through this whole process that you have been networking and have a lot of positive friends that have surrounded you, that have embraced you, that are encouraging you, and we are interactive in several groups together.
Yes.
With
yeah,
others that share. Go ahead.
I'm very blessed by the people that God has brought into my life since I got away from the place where I used to be, where much of the negative things occurred, and I came to a quiet place that you know, that's much more peaceful. And since I wrote this book, you know, the Lord has just all kinds of people into my life that, you know, I'm like, wow, God, thank you. This is awesome that you know, and you know, you for one have been super supportive and super encouraging, and I've been blessed by so much of what you've said to me over time since you heard my story. You know, it's impacted my life in a big way.
Oh, praise God.
I thank God for you and everyone else you brought into my life every day.
Well, you know, I cannot be quiet or silenced without acknowledging Apostle Larry Harris.
Oh, he's wonderful too.
Yes. And the reason that I am acknowledging Apostle Larry Harris is because that's how I met you, through
right.
his group, Manifested yep. Sons of God International Faith Ministries.
Right.
And I started reading your post, and I said, who is this man? You know, and then you started responding to my post, and, you know, then you was encouraging me, and I was encouraging you. And, Mike, I had no idea what God was doing. We would end up working together the way we are and doing the work of the Lord together.
Right. Yeah, I never would have expected it either. But, you know, I mean, when I did see what you put out there, you know, it was very encouraging, and it just reinforced the things that God has been you know, showing me lately. And so now I'm like, you know, I look forward to seeing what you put out there every day. Just, you know, just because I know I'm going to get something out of it that's going to maybe even teach me, or maybe, you know, God will use that to as some type of topic in my next book.
Amen. You know, what I love about everything that's happening, even on the radio show on Friday, you was mentioning the ideas you had for your next books. And Mike,
correct.
I have several books that I have not finished yet, and I need the time to do that. And I'm going to set some time aside in August and September to dedicate the time to do that, because I just been too busy. So
no,
I want to say
I
thank
understand.
You.
You're welcome. I mean, you know, I highly encourage you, you know, to take a little bit of time here and there when, and just say, okay, God, what do you want me to say here? Because that's what I've been asking. It's like, you know, even, you know, I'm in the middle we both belong to something called the Kingdom Writers Association. And the leader of that organization has given us a 31-day challenge to write at least 15 words minimum every day. And I did that. And the way I chose to do it was, I call it the You Are 31-Day Challenge, where I say You Are, and then I would put the scripture, and then I would do the encouraging words. It's helped a lot. I still got to get today's done here because time kind of got away from me, but you know, I've done one for every day in July, and those are out of my Facebook group right now.
Amen.
So I know just based on the broadcast that I've been a part of with you, and the things that I have listened to or read that you put out there, they're beautiful, and I mean they are very eloquent in the way they are worded. And I believe you've got a tremendous amount of things that you can share with the world that is going to be life-changing for so many people.
Amen. Thank you for that. I was first published in 2014 in a book of poetry. It was an anthology with other writers. Roger Williams, she has her own publishing company, and all of the books, all of the proceeds from the book goes to the Starving Artist Fund that's a part of her publishing company, and other writers write their own book. So
that's cool.
That was such a pleasurable experience, and I said, well, I need to, because a lot of the shows that I do, I also share my creative works that God give me, the poetry or inspirational message of hope. So one of the books that I'm writing is poetry with scriptures and prayer to encourage people to pretty much do what you're doing, but also provide that word so that they know how to apply it and,
right,
you know, memorize it and do what they want to do. So one of these days, we're going to have a seminar, a conference, a workshop or something, and we'll be able to schedule some classes in between the preach word where people can sign up for the classes. And I'm excited about that, Mike. And that's something, you know, that we have to talk about and tweak and stuff. But
very
right now,
so,
what else do you want to share about your book? What was your biggest accomplishment with this book?
Well, I mean, just the mere fact that, you know, even in writing the book, you know, which, you know, I intended bless, uplift, and encourage others, just putting the words on paper that the Lord was speaking to me, you know, had the same effect. And you know, I'm grateful that, you know, that they're showing me, you know, that you know, I am who he says I am, period. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Even though my mind may want to go in the opposite direction a lot of times, I'm still who he says I am.
Yes. And it's never going to change.
Not at all. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what anybody says to me. I mean, you know, I have shared, and this is amazing how the enemy works a lot of times. Is, you know, I have shared, you know, something good, like, you know, this broadcast, you know, or you know, something in regards to the book. I've got another friend who has asked me, I mean, he's a very well-known Christian artist, and he has asked me to be a part of, you know, in a small way toward the making of a movie about his and his wife's life.
Amen.
I just about blew me away when he called me up a few days ago and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it.
It's a blessing. And, Mike, there are so many doors that are opening up for you. And
there are.
I've been...
I mean,
I'm just
blown away, you know, by what God's doing, you know, since I got this book done.
Now, everything that we have been talking about, we talked about the storms. I opened up with the storms. Then you elaborated on the storms. So I'm going to compare. Because I said somebody is entering a storm, in the middle of the storm, or coming out of the storm. So all of life experiences, all of the storms that you endured, the enemy, in which I'm going to come back to, well, let me just say this first. When you came out of the storm, like even before the book was published,
right.
I have been purposely calling you best-selling author for quite some time
yes.
now. I didn't hear you.
Did you hear me?
Mike, are you still there? No, I didn't hear
I'm
you.
I'm still here. No, I mean, what,
okay.
what you've been saying on Facebook and stuff about me best-selling author, I'm like, that's just blessed me so much.
Because I was speaking to who you are, and that's who you are. You are a best-selling author. You are in great demand. Your book is going to bless many people. Many people are going to learn how to think right and accurately about God, and then they're going to think accurately and right about you. I mean, about themselves. And we're... Those negatives have been, I want to go back to that slavery for a moment, because you mentioned people can be in slavery in their mind, and I'm glad you said that, and that's one of the reasons I brought that whole slavery thing up, because when we think negative, when we speak negative, and we do negative things, we placing ourselves in bondage. Bondage is nothing but slavery. Now, Romans 8:15, it tells us, to stand firm. Or let me just turn there and just read it. But so many times we enslave ourselves and we build all of these walls to protect us, but we end up becoming a prisoner in our own minds. And I'm sorry, it wasn't Romans 8:15. And we have to... It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's in the King James Version. But in the Amplified Version, it says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. And Mike, no matter how we toss it, how we flip it, how we throw it, we have not received the spirit of slavery.
Right.
Again, to fear. Fear has been broken off of our lives. But do we struggle with fear in certain areas? Yes, we do. But as we feel the fear and face it anyhow, we overcome those fears. But when we entertain those negative words, we enslave ourselves. We imprison ourselves when we build walls to protect us. Oh, nobody's ever going to hurt me. Even if you say a word like that, you are speaking words that the enemy wants you to speak. And the enemy is going to take those words and run with it. Now, the other night when we were talking and when you brought up the 21 gun salute, and I mentioned how the angels hearken to the word of God. So when we speak God's word, boom, the angels, they go, and they hearken unto God's word. They get things in motion. But when we speak those negative words, guess what? Satan and his demons, they taken off. Now, Satan can't be everywhere like God is. God is everywhere all of the time. God know our thoughts. He know our words. He know our deeds. Satan don't know all of that at the same time. He don't have that kind of knowledge, that kind of wisdom. But we have to be very, very mindful from that free place, not from that bound place, because we're no longer bound. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And with that, we received a new mind that has to be renewed every day.
Now?
Go ahead. I turn the mic over to you. Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. You know, I mean, that falls in line with 2 Timothy 1:7. You know, we were not given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
You know, we've got to quit allowing the enemy to think, make us think that our minds are nothing but being full of chaos and doubt and disbelief and, you know, thinking that we're worthless or we don't matter or anything like that. You know, God gave us a power, love, and a sound mind, and he gave us the power to trample upon the enemy. And we got to start doing that more and more and more. You know, send him running in the other direction, like it says in James 4:7. We got to start resisting him, and making him flee.
Yes.
Because
how
if
do
we allow him to stick around, he's just going to turn around and just keep at it.
And how do we resist him?
Huh?
But what if I don't know the word by heart? Can I just read it straight from my Bible?
You can. I don't know the word by heart. I mean, I've never been to any type of Bible college or anything, or even taken a course on the Bible. But what I believe that God puts specific things into our heart that he wants us to know that we can portray to others. And, you know, the Bible says it, you know, talks about, you know, hearing by the word of God. I mean, you know, we read it in the traditional sense of reading the Bible, or whether we hear it in church or on the radio or wherever it's at, we've got to pretty much immerse ourselves in his word in some form or fashion that he puts on our hearts to do.
Yes. And so learning how to fight with the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds is important.
Right.
Something that I want to speak to you about off the air, because
okay.
I feel like there's a lot that we can share.
Absolutely.
With future radio broadcasts to shine the light in that area and help people learn how to use the whole armor of God, how to pray, and how to just speak God's word.
That's right. I mean, I'm still learning stuff in that area when it comes to things. And I think we had talked, too, on the other night about, you know, the whole armor of God. And, you know, we have to keep that armor on 24/7. You know, I mean, we can't take it off, because the minute we take any part of it or all of it off, that's when Satan starts throwing fiery darts right at that area that's not protected. And so we're turning around, you know, and we're wondering, you know, where all these things are that coming from that people are saying to us. Well, I mean, did we remove a piece of armor or even adjust it just enough to, because it, you and I both know that clothing, you know, sometimes you got to adjust it because it feels a little uncomfortable. Well, you know, I mean, the armor can sometimes, you know, if we allow it to, it will feel uncomfortable. We think, oh, I just need to shift this a little bit. No, we need to keep it totally together so that, you know, the enemy can't slip something in there.
Yes. But the truth of the matter, though, sometimes, like, think about the gladiators, how they wore those armors, and they had shields, and they had the knee pads and the elbow pads. And sometimes when they got hit hard with those spears or with those axes, it shifted stuff. You know, that armor will move. Mm-hmm. It don't just stand still.
Yeah,
and even though it's made out of metal and leather and whatever other kind of materials, is very, very strong and thick, but it will move.
Right.
So we have to be mindful of that. And we have, like you said, the other night, and this is such a testimony for you, but the other night when you mentioned that, it really, really blessed one of the ladies that was on the call. Because
okay.
I spoke with her later, and she said, oh, Stacy, when Mike mentioned the you know, the armor moving, like we got to adjust it, she said that spoke volumes to me. And so God is really ministering. He's still ministering to her now about that, because so many times she's the one that talked about Queen Valerie, that talked about how we need to polish up the buckles and polish our armor and stuff. And, you know, every major, you know how there's seasons, like we talked about the storms, there's seasons where things are peaceful. But in the beginning, you said you felt like you was in all of these storms all at one time. And I was like, wow, I could so relate to that, because sometimes it's like you can't catch your breath.
Exactly. And with all the varieties of things that are happening, you can't tell if it's spring, summer, fall, or winter. It's just like, it seems like everything is coming at you right all at once. And it's like, God, what is this? You know, help me, you know, to protect me from these things, because you're the only one that can.
Yes. And when we cry out to God, He answers us. In Isaiah 65, verse 24, it says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear.
That's right.
And God hears us all the time, and He does answer us. And, Mike, I want to thank you so much for joining me today for this interview. Thank you for this time. We are coming to the end of the interview, and I want to give you an opportunity to share whatever else you want to share. Take this opportunity to give thanks to those people that have supported you, that have been an encouragement to you, not only with accomplishing all that you recently accomplished with this book, but also those that have helped you to navigate through the storms in your life to help today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, until I got to move to the place I'm at now, I really didn't have very much help. But first of all, you know, I want to give you a huge thank you for, you know, the love and support that you have shown me. It's been so encouraging to everything that you've said to me. It's helped to reinforce my belief in myself. I also want to thank my good friends, Leon and Renee Petillo. Leon released a CD about a year ago called Sing Along with Leon, which, you know, I got to be a part of. I actually singing part of the chorus along with the very last song with a lot of other people called We Will Rise, which, you know, I think you have a copy of it. That they've been, their love and support's just been tremendous and everything. My friend Matthew Byrne, who wrote the foreword to my book, he's the one who pushed me when I hit a wall to finishing this book. And just the things he's spoken over me over the past year has just been phenomenal. And then the pastors of the church that I attend here, Joe and Rachel Moon, they've been awesome, supporters and ministers. Word. And there's lots of other people that have played some small part here or there, in supporting me and encouraging me to move forward in life. But one of the things I kind of want to briefly talk about, which is going to be in my next book, deals with the all-consuming fire of God. One of the things, and I will get into this in another broadcast at some other time, sure. But, you know, what do we do with the things that are being thrown at us? You know, we can throw those. If we have God living on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit, we have the consuming fire of God living inside of us, and we can throw the things that we're dealing with into that fire and allow God to burn it up. You know, we don't have to sit there and hold on to it anymore.
Amen.
Good.
But what is, can you, because for a while you've been on fire about the consuming fire. And based on what you just said, what is the significance of the fire of God and the consuming fire of God?
I mean, for me, it's just been the fact that, you know, I know I don't have to it doesn't matter what storms I've been through or what storms I could be going through in the future. You know, I have to recognize the fact that of what God's word says in relation to that storm or that possible storm and say, God, your word says this and this about that. So I choose to, based on that word, to toss that particular situation into that fire, because you're the only one that can destroy the things that are coming at me. You know, I can't do it myself, and you can do that through your fire.
Yes. And the fire burns away the dross.
It does.
And I want to just compare that to our discussion, because we've been really talking about learning how to put off the old way of thinking and speaking and doing things, and learning how to put on the positive things and to think positive, just the whole renewal of our mind. There's no way you can declare, yes, I am, if you don't believe it. But
that's true.
Even if you are a little shaky, you're a little unstable, continue to declare, yes, I can. Yes, I am a child of the God, a child of God, a child of the King. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Yes, I am a more than conqueror and an overcomer. And speak it even if you are unstable, even if there's a little bit of doubt or unbelief, because the more we speak God's word, our faith is being loosed. But Mike, we going to catch up to it, and then we will believe. It's almost like we're stepping into, like you get into a vehicle. Okay, I'm speaking this, but I'm not quite sure if God is really going to, and I'll use myself as an example. I knew what he showed me, and I started to, you know, this radio broadcast got started because I was giving back to the people. I wanted to provide a platform for people to voice their hurt and pain, but be a safe place for them, for those that have been in or coming out of abusive relationships.
Right.
And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea it was going to turn into what it has turned into now, but I stepped out in faith. And at different times, when, like, I was the only one on the radio. Like, nobody was listening to me. And I'm like, God, are you sure this is what you want me to do? And, you know,
well,
but
you
I
know,
kept.
Go ahead. No, I mean, it is, you know, even though there may not be anybody physically listening to you, it is getting out there and it is getting picked up by other people's spirits.
Yes, it is. You know, and I think what started out, like I say, I had, and that's the amazing thing, and that's when you know it's God. Because, and again,
right.
Like we growing, and I had to grow, and I had to learn. But what God wanted to know, was I going to be obedient, even if there was nobody there? And so, like, even with my prayer line, the prayer line would be with the conference call. And when I first started, it was hardly anybody coming. And I said, God, I'm going to minister. I'm going to release this word like it's 5,000 people here.
Yep. There you go.
And then now we're in 37 countries all over the world where the gospel is being preached.
That's
so, you know, to God be the glory. And I say that to say that dreams do come true. We just have to believe what God said. Because, Mike, it's not about what we say.
Yep.
So I want to go back to something you said when you was giving out acknowledgments, and you acknowledged Leon and Renee Petillo, and you worked on a project. You worked on his album.
Yeah,
and
well, I got asked if I wanted to participate in it. No. Go ahead.
Okay, and what is the background behind that particular album? Because he was doing something special. And for you that invitation.
Go ahead.
For you to get that invitation to participate in this special project is just wonderful. But I want you to explain what it was, because I am going to play the song before we end the interview.
Okay. Well, the way everything started out with Leon and Renee and I've listened to his music for 30 years. He's got a song, which I'm sure there may be a lot of people out there that might be familiar with it, called J-E-S-U-S. Back in the beginning of 2020, I became friends with him on Facebook, and then Renee reached out to me because they had some business they were doing and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it, which I did. And then, you know, over time we got to know each other better and stuff like that. And then, you know, they told me about this project with this CD. And they asked me if I wanted to be part of, singing, part of the chorus in the song that you're going to play and everything like that, or, be a kind of a sponsor, one of the sponsors, so to speak, of this CD being created. And of course I couldn't turn it down. I'm like, wow, what a blessing, Lord. And so, I had to record my own voice, and singing, this chorus, and then I had to send it to them, and then they turned around and they had somebody that took everybody that sung this chorus, and they mixed it all together, and it just sounds beautiful when you hear it.
Amen. That is such a blessing. And for those of you that are listening, this is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and my special guest today has been Michael S. Smith, the author of Yes, You Are. And he is not only a published author, he is also a background singer. And he was on this album with Leon Petillo, this CD, and this particular project was dedicated to the people of Ukraine. And Leon Petillo says, on the website, on the YouTube page, it says, I was in Ukraine many times, and my heart aches for what they're going through, especially the innocent children So I decided to do what I can to help. And so I'm rallying up my friends, fans, and church community to assist in the effort of providing basic needs like water, food, psychological health, or spiritual guidance. We have partnered with an organization who are based in Ukraine, and our combined donation will assist them in doing the legwork needed. So at this time, Mike, I just want to say congratulations to you. Congratulations to the Patillos for this wonderful project. When I got a chance to listen to it, I just thought about Michael Jackson, you know, and the song that he did, We Are the World, where he got all of the artists around the world to come together and to sing for such a wonderful cause. So we're going to play this song, and after the song, we'll come back into the interview. But for those of you that are listening, this is We Will Rise for Ukraine by Leon Patillo and Friends.
When I saw someone today, as they slowly walked my way, I could tell that they were different from me. Someone said, don't like them. Then they started to fight them for no reason that I could see. God help us move us toward the healing. Heaven on is precious in the sight. We will rise, rise above the language. Rise above the colors, rise above the enemy of our soul. We will rise above the anger, rise above the hatred, rise above, cause we can take control. We will rise, open up our eyes, rise. Precious moment passes by. Make a hand, make a stand. We will rise, rise above the language, rise above the color, rise above the enemy of our soul. We will rise. Rise above the anger, rise above the hatred, rise above, cause we can take control.
Well, the song that we just finished listening to again is entitled We Will Rise and for Ukraine, and it was written and composed by Leon Patillo. And if you like what you listen to, that album, the CD is available at CD Baby on behalf of Leon Patillo. And Mike Smith was one of the background singers in that particular song, We Will Rise. And Isaiah, the 60th chapter in verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So, Mike, that is such a prophetic song. That was a prophetic declaration for Ukraine. It's a prophetic declaration for the United States of America. It's a prophetic declaration for you, for your life. and what God has called you to do for him. The enemy thought he had you when your back was against the wall. But glory, hallelujah, God had a purpose and God had a plan. So I celebrate you today as we finally accomplished your interview so we could check this off of your bucket list. And I welcome you to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. From the bottom of my heart, I wish you continued success with all of your endeavors. You know how much I love you. I encourage you to continue to press in and to continue to fight the good fight of faith. So I want to give you an opportunity to give your closing remarks, give your contact information again, release the information about the book, when it's going to be released, and where they can publish it, I mean, where they can purchase a copy, and your contact information.
All right. Well, I mean, the Word of God tells us, I mean, he gives us beauty for ashes. So no matter what life has thrown at us, you know, what words have been said to us, any of it, you know, in the end, we will have that beauty in place of those ashes. We have the capability through faith in God to rise above everything that we have ever. We just have to believe his word and stop believing all the lies that the enemy wants us to believe. We are more than conquerors through Christ, and we always will be. That kind of thing does not change. God's word is constant. It's true. So anybody listening out there, you know, I just encourage you to have faith and believe in what his word says, because you are someone, you do matter, and you are valuable, you are significant, and you are better than any circumstance you may have gone through or could go through, because God made you fearfully and wonderfully. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can email me at readdeclareandpray, all one word, @gmail.com. And my book, Yes You Are, Thoughts and Scriptures to Speak Over Yourself and Others, is available for pre-buy now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and the official release date is August 15th.
Well, thank you so much for providing that information. And for those of you that are following Mike on Facebook, please stay tuned. You have some that are following him on his own page, which is Yes You Are. And then there are some people that are following him at Manifested Sons of God International Ministries with Apostle Larry Harris. And some of you are following him at Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry, which is my group, and the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. So Mike is a part of the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. He joined us for the first time on Friday as a panelist for our talk show, and he did a wonderful job. So you will be hearing more from Mike, and we thank you so much for your support today. Again, Mike, thank you for being a guest today. I look forward to working with you and just all of the work that God is going to have us to do. So thank you for caring so much about God's people. I do believe that somebody is going to be blessed by this interview as they have been blessed by the material and inspirational messages of hope and the challenges that you have been posting. So thank you so much. God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, Stacy. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Bye.